It is quite an honor to be here, and I don't mean as a guest speaker like here this moment, but to actually be here in Hong Kong. For many of you, probably clueless, but this is quite an exciting time. And for those of you who've been praying for us, here we are. We stand before you saying your prayers have been answered, your faithfulness has been rewarded, and we are looking forward to a new chapter in our lives. And so today I just want to share a little bit about our journey. Pastor Sam asked me to speak this week. We just arrived Friday night, I believe. And so we're trying to get adjusted to the time, and my son, we have a son, Elijah. He's 2 years old, and he woke up at 2:30 in the morning yesterday, and so he's like, "Appa, appa, let's play." And so it's been quite an adjustment getting here, but I just wanted to share sort of my story of how I got here to Hong Kong. And I know that some of you were here back in February when I spoke for the anniversary service, and I can't believe it's been half a year. I just feel like I was just here, and maybe it's because I've had Hong Kong in my heart ever since then, and so it just feels like I haven't left. And it is quite an honor to call SP our home, and I look forward to the future that God has for us. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to those who need a word of encouragement. God, I pray that you'd speak to those who need their spirits lifted. God, I pray that you'd speak to those whose hearts are cold and hardened. God, I pray that you would do an incredible work today. I pray that you'd infuse a great enthusiasm, God, into your people. We ask, Father, for your blessing and your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Pastor Nate alluded to, me and Pastor Sam go way back, about 18, 19 years. I came to Thanksgiving Church in Southern California about 4 or 5 months before him. And here was this guy who came in shorts and t-shirts, and he began to preach with fire and things like that. And we had a tiny little group of 10 to 20 people, and he would preach like he was preaching to millions, and with the veins popping out, and things like that. And here I am just leading worship for him and things. And over time, we became a great combination of, like a Chris Tomlin and Louis Giglio. Not to minimize Pastor Sam, as with all due respect to Louis Giglio. But just basically, we became a team that eventually went out, and we went to different places all over the country, all over the world, in fact. And we ministered together. And so, and then he left me. I thought that this was the last time that we would be together. He moved out to Hong Kong, and never in my wildest dreams did I think that we would reconnect together to be a team. And what I look forward to the most is the working with the pastoral team here, who is just incredible, who I have great respect for, and I'm just looking forward to that. And so Pastor Sam and I, we go back way back, and back to the days when he was courting Lisa. When he was so lovesick with her, and just during the times of denial and rejection and the ups and the downs, I was there for him to. I lent him my shoulder to cry on, and all these things, and so we go way back. And so I'm just looking forward to this sort of full circle idea of just working together again, because I truly believe that God's Spirit is working through the people of Hong Kong and through Solomon's Porch, but not just to keep it within SP, but for a hub to the rest of Asia and the rest of the world. And so that's what I felt God impress upon me as we were praying through this transition. And as Pastor Nate said, we've moved everything. We're homeless right now. We just thank just the hospitality of the people, and we're temporary staying at Jean Marc's, but we have no place to go, so we're very mobile in that way. Pastor Sam was a youth pastor for 5 years. I was his worship leader, his right-hand man, as Pastor Nate was saying. And so, and then he left, and then he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "You're going to take over." And at that time, I was a fourth-year student in college, and I was like, I've never spoken a message. And so I was very scared. And he left with me, with no choice for me, and I had to be a youth pastor. And so when I decided to be obedient to that calling, I said, I'm going to give it everything that I have, and I'm going to do the best that I can. And I wanted to commit to God and to this group 9 years, three generations of students to pass, because I was so sick and tired of all these youth pastors just coming in for a year and leaving and coming in for a year. And so I wanted to be there for a very long time. And so I was there eventually 10 years pastoring, and we had a very good ministry. We had a very thriving and growing ministry. We grew to, you know, a couple hundred, and everything was great. And but 5 years into that, or 5 years ago, my heart was getting restless. My heart was getting very confused about my future. Like many of us, what does God have in store for me and for my future? Am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to get a job? Am I ever going to succeed in life? And I was just very concerned about my future. And at my church, everything was great. Everything was comfortable and everything was incredible. I mean, I was big man on campus. I was there the longest. I was synonymous with the name of our church. I was highly respected. I had great influence. And I was so, everything was just wonderful. And I was so comfortable being where I was at. But my heart was getting restless because I was wondering, is there more that God has for me? Is there an assignment that God has for me in my life? And so as I was going through the motions of pastoring my church, as I was going through the motions of being a Christian, I started listening to Pastor Francis Chan and some of his journeys and things like that. And he gave this incredible illustration of an on stage on one of the services. He had this long rope that was from here all the way to the next building. I mean, their stage was huge, and this rope filled the length of the stage. And he said that this rope was eternity. And then here he pointed to a little portion that was painted red that was about a centimeter or so colored in. And he said that most of us in this world, we live for this red part of this long rope that represents eternity. And it's just a small fraction of this rope. Yet we put all of our efforts and all of our dreams and all of our attention and all of our desires into this tiny 1 centimeter painted with red section of this rope. And as I saw this visually, this made so much sense. The fact that we are foolish to invest all of our lives into this tiny 1 centimeter section of this rope, which represents eternity. And I was totally rocked by that. And if the scripture says that this world is not our home, that we ought to live for eternity, why is it that I'm putting all of my effort and energy into this tiny section of this rope? And then I began to read books from like John Piper, like Don't Waste Your Life and things like that. And I just was just so troubled in my spirit and so convicted that I've been living for this tiny section of this rope when God has called us to live for eternity, that this world is not my home. And then I began to reflect upon Christ and my life and the Bible. And I was wondering, am I following an American Western Christianity where Christianity in the West asks us to participate when we have some time, to give some money to the church or to God's causes if we have some abundance. It causes us to try to get involved in house churches when you can or when you're able, if it's convenient for you to get involved in a body. And that's sort of the Western Christianity that I look at my life, and that's the way I've been living. But as I look at the Bible, as I look at the call of Christ, the call of Christ calls us to a full devotion to Him. It calls us to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, to follow Him. The scripture tells us to identify in His sufferings so that we may identify in the glory of His resurrection. And here I am, living this American Western Christianity of comfort and convenience and just doing what I can whenever it's convenient to me. And then I saw this video that Francis Chan was talking about, and I want to show a clip of that for you. It's a pretty well-known YouTube video. Maybe many of you seen it, but for the sake of those who haven't seen it, I want you to go ahead and take a look at the screens.
Don't kicked off the team, whatever. You know, just there's so much instability, so much that we don't understand, that we don't know. For me, growing up, it was a lot of you guys know my mom died giving birth to me, and my dad remarried, then my stepmom died in a car accident when I was 9, then my dad got married again, then my dad died of cancer when I was 12. And so I'm in junior high, my mom's dead, my stepmom's dead, my dad's dead. The only close relatives I had were my aunt and uncle, George and Sandra. And then when I was in high school, they got in a fight, and my uncle George shot and killed my aunt, and then stuck the gun to his own head, killed himself. So I'm 16 years old, and this is life to me, going, man, what's next? Everything seems to be falling apart, and we get a little worried, we get a little scared. And this is what Christians do, you know, they try to serve God, but then things get a little rocky. And things get a little unstable, and so we go, okay, that was nuts. I don't want to live like that. Let me hold on. And this is your routine. This is what so many people do. They go, you know what? I'm not going to try anything crazy. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to hold on. And this is what you look like. You just go. This is what people do. You know what? I'm just going to have my nice little family. We're just going to. You know, we're just going to keep to ourselves. We're going to live in a gated community. I'm going to homeschool my kids, make them wear helmets everywhere. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to let them outside because sun has bad rays. I'm going to, you know, just on and on and on. And you just live your life in the safety of, I don't want to do anything crazy for God. I just want to, you know, go to church on Sundays and maybe give like 2%. And maybe serve, help the nursery, because I feel guilty. And then you do this your whole life, and then you go, your greatest prayer is like, God, you know what? I would love to die in my sleep and not even feel it, and then just go up to heaven. And so you want to die like this, just in your sleep, ooh, right in the middle of a dream, good dream, the dream, you're going to heaven, and you don't even feel it. And then suddenly you wake up, you stand before the judge, and you go, now, could you imagine watching the Olympics, you know, and some girl does that, just gets up there, starts straddling the thing, and then steps off and goes, what is the judge supposed to do on the card? You see, and to me, I go, man, that's the routine that so many Christians are headed for. That's the routine, the boring, I do nothing crazy because I don't want to fall. That's the routine that they're going to live, and then one day it's going to be a shock because they're going to step off that balance beam and realize they're standing before the judge. They're standing before the judge, and you think he's going to look at that routine and go, wow, well done. Well done. You lived the safest life possible. You didn't slip. You didn't fall. See, that's not the life that God's called us to. That's where the majority will head. But I don't want to go where the majority goes.
Ooh. The reason why, I mean, that's powerful in itself, but the reason why, excuse me, that rocks me is because if anyone had a sort of a reason to live a safe life, it was him. I mean, the tragedies that he experienced early in his life, if anyone had an excuse to live a safe life, it would have been him. Death all around, the people that he loves the most dying. I mean, when I heard that story, I couldn't believe it, man. Mom, dad, stepdad, aunt, I mean, everybody in his life. And if anyone had a reason to live a safe life, it was him. But he understands that the Christian life is not about living a safe life. I want us to open to Matthew chapter 7, if we can, this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And so as I'm going through this journey and just truly being convicted by the Holy Spirit and by the scriptures, I examined my life compared to this passage, and I realized that my life was on the wide path, that my journey was on the wide path, and I felt like I was following the crowd. I was following Western Christianity. I was trying to be safe, and now that I have a family, I wanted to do everything to keep them safe. I didn't want to do anything crazy. Come to Hong Kong? Are you crazy? That's crazy. Why would I do that? And I realized that I was just following the crowd, trying to be comfortable. And this balance beam illustration made total sense to me, and it truly spoke to me because that's how I was living my life. I was scared to do anything crazy for the Lord. And I was pursuing the American dream. And you know what the American dream is? Is come to America, work hard, make lots of money, buy a big house, and buy, you know, lots of cars. And I was just intoxicated by this message. And why would you fault me? Because my parents left Korea and moved to America to pursue the American dream. My parents did that. And so I was intoxicated, immersed by this idea of the American dream. You've got to live your life and work hard and make lots of money and be successful and be famous and do all of that stuff. But the one thing that I realized about the American dream is the American dream is very self-centered, but the kingdom dream is others-centered. Can I get an amen? And see, there are people dying of poverty and lack of clean water and devastation from disasters, yet all we care about in the Western Christianity is how can I elevate my standard of living when we have people all over the world suffering and dying. Francis Chan said this also, most American churchgoers are more concerned about their standard of living than others actually living. The Bible says that where your heart is, there is your treasure. And my heart was safety and comfort. And as a pastor, I felt like the biggest hypocrite. Here I am trying to live out the scriptures, not only preach about it, but to live it out. And here I am scared. And so after much struggle and after much prayer and after much tearing of my soul and after much surrendering to the call of God, here I am in Hong Kong. I felt like that if I wanted to leave the American dream, I had to actually leave America. And so here I am because I wanted to leave the American dream and now pursue the kingdom dream. I wanted God's will be done and his kingdom to come. I don't want to stand before God and have him say, well, you lived in a big house, which I did, with nice cars, which I had, and that your life was devoted towards just pain avoidance. I don't want God to say to me, look at all the cool things you could have done in my name. Look at all the cool things that you could have experienced, but you're just too scared. And as a pastor, I have a confession to my brand new family. I was afraid. I was scared. See, because the Bible says to be strong and courageous, and here I am, weak and afraid. The Bible says to be strong and courageous, and as I look at my life, I was totally the opposite. I was so weak and tired and scared. But now I no longer want to live for things that are temporary. As you look at all the natural disasters in our world with Japan and the radiation and destruction and tsunamis and earthquakes and people losing their possessions just in an instant. I no longer want to live my life for things that are just temporary. I no longer want to do the things that I can do with my own abilities, but I want to do what God can do through his abilities. I want to see the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead that lives in us to be done here in Hong Kong. Pastor Sam has been asking me to come out to Hong Kong for like 7 or 8 years, and I, for 7 and 8 years, I've said no, no way, no thank you. And then I read a tweet on Twitter recently from Christine Kane, and she says, if you're operating out of fear, You'll always say no when God says to go. And here I was, God calling me to go. God calling, and I was so afraid, and I said no. And here I felt like Twitter was speaking to me. If you're operating out of fear, you'll say no when God says go. And I've said no. But this time around, I was thinking to myself, am I missing out on something incredible just because I would rather stay in California, here in my comfort? See, you don't understand. I don't do hot very well. Yeah, I don't do humid. I sweat in air conditioning. And so it's like, for me to be here, it's just like, are you kidding me? Everyone back home is worried for me. They're like, you're not going to survive. And I said, well, sweating is the last of my concern. Because it is, in California, it is, it's beautiful right now. And it's just, and Hong Kong is a little bit hotter than I would like. But I was asking myself, am I saying no to something incredible because I could be more comfortable in California? Or could I be here in Asia where God is expanding his kingdom and God is using the people of Solomon's Porch? And this time around, it's like, man, I'll sweat for the kingdom. Amen. I will. And the crazy thing is, when my wife and I, we were just friends, when we weren't dating, she said to me, hey, do you remember that one time you said that you saw yourself in China one day? I said, no, I think that was a pickup line for you to get to like me or something. I don't ever remember saying that. No, and she said, no, I remember you telling me that you see yourself in China one day. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't think I ever said that. I think maybe I wanted to present myself as more holy, you know, and so I said that, but I don't feel that, I don't believe that, and I don't remember that. And she said, no, you said that to me. I said, really? So now we look at each other and say, look, we're here. And so that's why, though you may not understand, for me personally, this is an amazing day. This is an amazing weekend. And so here we are by faith. And I had to ask myself the question, what would my life look like if I never took any steps of faith in my life? What would my life look like if I never took any steps of faith? What kind of leader would I be if I hear the calling of the Lord and didn't obey? And I want to ask you that question this morning. What would your life look like if you never took any steps of faith? If your life was just like that balance beam, holding on for dear life, what, at the end of your life, what would it look like? And for me, I didn't want my life to look like that. I wanted my life to be spectacular. I wanted my life to be adventurous. I wanted my life to be amazing. What I wanted to pass down to my children is not that Dad was scared, but Dad was a risk taker, that Dad was willing to step out for the kingdom because God had plans for him. I wanted to pass down to my children that Dad trusted God with everything that he had. And in every situation, in every circumstance, God provided because Dad trusted him. I don't want my image of my son to be of Dad. He's so scared. And Jesus said, there's a narrow road, and very few find it. And here I was on the wide road. And so I felt the call of God to say, you know, God, you want me in Hong Kong, I'll just sell everything that I have, I'll just pack up and just go. And here we are. And as I was going through this process, I was just so just amazed at the calling of Abraham, and that I want to go through that as we end here. I know Pastor Sam, you know, talks for a while, and just because I say we're ending doesn't mean we're really ending. But if you remember the call of Abraham, there are a couple things that God asked Abraham that I felt was parallel for my life. It says, number one, he said to Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your father's household, and I want you to go to the land that I'll show you. You remember this story? God says to Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your father's household and go to a land that I will show you. And I'm looking at my situation. I want you to leave your country. Okay. I want you to leave your people. All right. Check. I want you to leave your father's household. Yep. And I will go to the land that I will show you. Okay. You better show me. And so Abraham was being asked to forsake everything in order to follow God's calling. Now, what would you do? What would you do? You're in the prime of your life. You've got a good job that you worked many years for. You've got a home that you finally bought or have. You've got friends that you admire. You've got a church community that respects you. You're an upstanding person in your community. You've got an incredible future ahead of you. The last thing that I want to do is move. And I'm sure the last thing that Abraham wants to do is move. And the question is, what would you do if you're in that situation? And so here's God, whom Abraham had just met, wants him to leave everything, your friends, your family, your country, your security, your home, your business, everything. Does that sound familiar to anybody? When Jesus called the disciples, he said the exact same thing. I want you to leave your nets. And as fishermen, this is their livelihood. This is everything. I want you to leave your nets and I want you to come follow me. And here is the call of Christ for your life. He wants you to follow him. And for so many of us, including myself, it means to leave everything to follow him. And so here the call of Abraham is the same call of Jesus. It means I want you to, in the prime of your life, to leave everything and to follow him. I can imagine the dialogue between Abraham and God. Not, you know, this is not in scripture. This is just, you know, my own thing, you know. But I can just imagine in my mind what the dialogue might be. This is Abraham. This is God speaking. I want you to leave everything and go to a land that I will show you. Well, where's that? Well, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. Well, try me. Well, it's 1,500 miles from here in a place called Canaan. Never heard of it. I know. Guess what else? What? I'm going to make you a father of a great nation. That's impossible. I don't have any children. Don't worry. What do you mean, don't worry? Just trust me. So let me get this straight, Abraham's saying. You want me to leave everything, travel across the desert to some place I've never heard of? I'm going to become the father of a great nation, right? Is this some sort of joke? He's like, no. What am I supposed to tell my wife? And God says, that's your problem. Because Hebrews 11:1 says, by faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And many times, that is the life of faith. You're going to be called out to step out for God. You're going to be called to do things for God. And that's where precisely Abraham was at. He was believing in God, but not sure of what the future is going to hold. But the Bible says he went. And it illustrates an incredible truth that we rarely see the big picture in advance. And this is where we get frustrated. This is where I get, because if I'm going to commit myself to someplace, I want to know in advance. I want to research online. I want to know sort of the temperature of the place that we're going to. I want to know if it's a good place for the kids. I want to know if there's a lot of leisure activities. I want to know how public transportation is. I want to do all my research online before I commit to a place. But in the life of faith, the central truth is you rarely get to see the big picture in advance. And this is what frustrates us, because we won't go unless we know. We won't go unless we know and see it in advance. But when God calls, he doesn't always explain himself. He always just tells you enough to get you moving in the right direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying to Abraham, I just want you to trust me. And so at this point, Hebrews 11:8 says that Abraham obeyed and went. See, because he may have doubted, but he went. He may have been confused, but he went. He may have argued with God, but he went. He may have wondered, but he went. When God calls, the proper response is to obey and to go. And this is sort of the life of faith and the journey that I've been on as I listen to the call of Abraham, as God calls me to leave my country, to leave my family, to leave my father's household, to leave my people, and to go to a place where I will tell you, where is it? Well, it's, you know, across the Pacific somewhere. Is it safe? Don't worry about it. Is it cool? Don't worry about it. Is it nice? Don't worry about it. For I know the plans that I have for you. And the plans are to be there. So many times when God calls us, and I think there are some of us in this congregation that God is calling you to a life of faith. that many of us realize that we're living a comfortable life. In fact, that's why we moved here to Hong Kong, is to pursue that comfortable life. But God has a greater life planned for you. Can I get an amen? He has a powerful life planned for you. A lot of times when God summons us to a life of faith, he calls us to relinquish all to follow him. Even the disciples had a hard time doing that. And that was the struggle with the rich young ruler. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, I want you to sell all your possessions to the poor and come follow me. And the rich young ruler said, I can't do that. And Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And in fact, the Apostle Peter responded to Jesus, Behold, Lord, we have left our homes and followed you. And Jesus assured Peter that though he relinquished all of his things, that following him would lead to receiving greater blessings in his life. I think what many of us as believers fail to realize is that a life of faith means a summons to relinquish the very things that hold on to you. That a life of faith means to give up and surrender and to relinquish the very strongholds that hold on to you. And for me, the strongest stronghold was a life of comfort and a life of pain avoidance. But no longer do I want to do that. I want to do something crazy for the Lord. I want to do something. I don't want to hold on to that balance beam and face that judge and say, yes, God, the pursuit of my life was to live the safest life that I could ever live. I didn't want to go on that mission trip because it's too scary, because I've never gone before. I don't want to go on summer missions because, you know, it's dirty over there, or they talk a different language, or I don't do Indian food. I don't do, you know, certain food. I just don't do that, God. I think what helped me was that as I was struggling to move here, I was thinking about all the things that I would have to give up in California. All of the Mexican food that I would miss, that I would never, ever have. Again, you know, King Taco, as Pastor Sam, Kim, you know, it is quite good, actually. It is something that we will miss dearly, you know. All the food and the convenience and the weather and just everything. I was so focused on the things that I would leave behind. And I felt the Lord speak to me that if you could forget about looking behind you and look in front of you, you would see that what you're leaving behind is nothing to what is up ahead. And I think many of us, we struggle in making decisions of faith because we are so focused on what we're going to leave behind. You know, for some of you in this room, you may not even be a Christian, and you've been invited to be a Christian, but then you'd have to give up your lifestyle. You'd have to give up whatever it is, and you're not ready to give that up, and you're so focused on the things that you have to give up. And I was so focused on the things that I'm going to give up: my home, my cars, my friends, my family, my reputation that I've spent so much effort to build up. And as I was looking at that, I was struggling to look ahead, and I felt God so clearly say, I have something greater. I have something greater. And so here's the thing about Abraham, is that he obeyed, even though he didn't know. And the crazy thing is, Abraham never saw the fulfillment of his promise. If you want to talk about tragedy, Abraham never saw the fulfillment of his promise. Here's God promising Abraham, look, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to bless you and your family. I'm going to take your people into the promise. He made all of these promises to Abraham, and if that was me, I'd say, yes, God. If that's the case, I'm going to say yes. But Abraham never saw that. But he still said yes. Moses, God asked him, I want you to lead your people, my people, into the promised land. All right, man, all these stiff-necked people, all these stubborn people. All right, God. And if you know about Moses, same thing. He never got to see the fulfillment of the deal that he signed up for. But the Bible says he obeyed. And listen to me, if these people, if Abraham, Moses didn't obey, even though it was a step for faith, it would never have been fulfilled or accomplished. And I wonder in my life, what am I stopping God and his people from accomplishing by my disobedience. I may never see the fulfillment of the promises that God has made to me, but that's not the point. The point is God has a plan for you. God wants to use you. God wants to do something incredible through you. But because you're afraid and you're scared, could it be possible that something great is going to be hindered? Maybe God is calling you to go. Maybe God is calling you to stay. Maybe God is calling you to move. Maybe God is calling you to serve. Maybe God is calling you to share even a testimony. Maybe God is trying to loosen the grip of the strongholds of materialism in your life that you have so much stuff. Maybe God is calling you to go into full-time ministry. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary. Maybe God is calling you to repent. Maybe God is calling you to salvation. Maybe God is calling you to be set free from your addiction. Maybe God is calling you to live a life of faith. God is calling you to these things, but you're afraid. Maybe that's why it says all over Scripture, 365 times, one for every day of the year, do not be afraid. Do not fear. I believe that not only my life, but a calling for all of us is that God has a plan to bless you, your family, bless nations through you if you would obey the call and go to the place that God has placed in your heart. I know there are some of you here that God has placed something in your heart, but you're afraid and you've asked all of these questions. Well, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. How is this going to work? How is that going to work? And I'm not here to tell you to sell everything that you have. I'm not here to tell you to do all that. I'm here to say, trust in the Lord. And may he grant you the desires of your heart. And let's see, as a family, what God could do through us. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that your call would go forth, that it would resonate and echo through the depths of our hearts. And God, many of us have been attending church for a very long time, living a very safe life. But as we read your word, as we read the scriptures, and we see that your call to all of us is to drop our nets and to follow you. And God, for many of us, it's going to mean a radical change from the way that we live our lives. But God, I pray that you give us vision of the destiny that you have in front of us, that we would no longer look at the things that are behind us, that have a stronghold on us. But Lord, that we would look ahead and see that you have glory planned, that you have prosperity, that you have blessing planned, that you have incredible vision for our lives, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd call of us, all of us, to be participants of that in your work. God, I pray that you'd speak especially to those who are struggling with their inner call, whether it be as simple as a job change, or maybe it's about laying down their life once again to live for you. Father, I ask that you would just begin to speak. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. I wonder if there's anyone whose heart is struggling with just letting go. That maybe you've been skeptical of God. Maybe you think God is questionable in taking care of you. Maybe you've given a lot to the building fund and you're not sure how God is going to come through. Oh man, I can't wait to tell you testimonies of how God has come through in our giving. When we gave, when we didn't know where this money was going to come from, and it just popped into our pockets. Amazing. And I realize once you've made a decision to let go, God, who takes care of the birds of the field and the flowers of the field, God can take care of you. How much more does he love you? as a parent loves their child. I wonder if there's anyone here in this place struggling with letting go. If that's you, if you could just place your right hand over your heart. If you're struggling with something that God is asking you to do, go ahead and just lay your right hand over your heart and just begin to pray, God, help me to let go. Would you go ahead and do that now? I stand before you as a living testimony that God will bless. He blessed Abraham, he blessed Moses, and they're not just great giants in the Bible. That is his plan for you, that he will bless if you can trust him and let go. And I'm here to say to you, why not? Let's just do it. Let's just let go. Let's just live a life of faith. Let's just live a life that is exciting. Let's just live a life that allows God to do his thing. Let's allow God to just do his thing in us. If that's you, just say, God, I let go. Father, I pray for those who hear the call of their hearts. And God, I pray that strongholds will be loosened now and we break them now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would set the captives free. God, I pray that you'd set those who are imprisoned in their own homes, in their own hearts. God, I pray that you'd set them free now in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that today would be a significant day in their journey with you. God, that they would no longer look behind but look ahead. And God, all the hurts in the past, that they would let go and look for the healing that lies ahead. That they would leave behind the pain and that they would see ahead joy. God, we pray, Father, for your blessing and your favor over your congregation, over your people. For Father, you are a great shepherd. And God, I pray that you'd come and just give peace. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, as a group. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I will offer up my life.
And I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
You deserve my every breath.
You deserve my every breath. For you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? So faithful a friend, to so loving a King. Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
We just close this in prayer as we go. Lord, we just ask that your call would continue to be a burden on our hearts. And God, I pray that you would walk with us on this journey. And Lord, I ask that our eyes would be open to things that are greater than ourselves. God, I pray that we would no longer live a self-centered version of Christianity, but another focused version, a biblical version, God. And I pray that you'd open our eyes to see that this life is greater than ourselves. God, use us in a great way to bless nations. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys, and I'll be here after service to hang out and talk. I look forward to meeting you all. So God bless you guys.